Hello and welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Thank you for coming out to our Thursday evening service. Please take your seats and open your blue hymnals to page 120. We'll sing When I See the Blood, page 120. Blue hymn books, page 120, When I See the Blood, on the first. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood. With a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Pray for those that couldn't make it, those that are ill. We thank you for our church here, and we thank you for your word and this opportunity to praise you and sing songs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's turn to page 427. We're going to sing A Passion for Souls, page 427.
for Foundation Baptist Church for our midweek service. And I need a bulletin. Can someone hand me a bulletin somewhere? Anybody? Bueller? All right. Thank you. On our front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That is Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And our service times are 10:30 a.m. for our preaching service on Sunday mornings and 3:30 p.m. for our evening service Sunday evening. And we'll be back in Genesis chapter number 8, I believe, this week. What did I say? Okay. It's going to be that kind of night, huh? All right. Exodus. I can't believe I said, why did I say Genesis? Probably because I like that book a lot. But anyway, Thursday. Thank you, Brother Sean. Thursday, you're like, what? We're starting over again? Thursday Bible study is, of course, tonight at 6:30, Thursdays. And we are in Hebrews chapter number 2 tonight. We'll be preaching two sermons out of Hebrews chapter 2. And so let's see. So many times were listed below. We had so many tonight, and then the rains came. So I was doing a shuttle service for those that were struggling near. Brother Alex was building an ark when I went to pick him up. And so did anybody have a salvation by any chance? No. Okay. Well, I'm hoping we get more rewards for what we had to go through out there tonight. It wasn't too bad, but it did get pretty rainy. We talked to some people, and some people were interested. So we didn't get to preach the gospel to anybody, but we definitely got to talk to some people. So it was nice. And let's see, we have soul winning tomorrow at 3 p.m. And we've had a visitor, Brother Jesse, has been here. Where's he at? There he is. Is your last service being here tonight?
Yeah.
Are you planning on going soul winning any other? Are you going soul winning tomorrow? No. Okay. So make sure you get a chance to say goodbye to Brother Jesse. He might be back again, hopefully. But it's been a blessing having you here, Brother Jesse. And hopefully you make it to Boise. That's the plan. But if it's doing this out here, I told him it's probably doing that, but powder the other way. So you got to be careful. So anyway, let's see. And then we also have soul winning on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. And another chance to go on Sunday at 1:10. So our praise report, you see the salvations, baptisms, and attendance totals on your left-hand side there. And we are doing the 31-day challenge for our church for the Bible reading. And if you need one of these sheets, is anybody doing the Bible challenge and did not get one of these sheets? Does anybody need one? Did the dog eat your homework? If so, we have other copies. I hope you all are trying or attempting to get that done. And it's been the gospel's like, I'm trying to get through it faster than I normally do. We have two people who have already completed it, and it was day one and day two. So if we're grading on a curve, which we're not, you're gonna get an F. No, but you still, as long as you finish, that's the important part, right? Just finishing the New Testament. So anyway, so that challenge is still going on. And then the men's leadership class is going to be at 6:30 p.m., which is a Tuesday, next Tuesday. So guys, prepare a short sermon, and you will be timed. So if I see three pages or more, I can already tell you right now, you're not going to make it. It's 10 minutes, okay, guys? So we're going to do that. We're going to have, of course, our lessons like we normally do. If you are interested in coming to the men's leadership class and you're not already in it, please see me, and I will be happy to help you or talk to you about that. January 17th is the sewing class, and that's going to be at the church building here at 4 p.m. If you have any questions about that, please see Mrs. Harrington. And the 29th, we're going to have a potluck, or I'm going to provide a meal, either one, but we'll be eating and meeting that day, and we'll have a men's preaching night for the evening service. So if you haven't if you want to prepare a sermon and you're a man, you're more welcome to do so. We do have a couple of rules. You have to use the King James Bible. You have to wear a shirt and tie. And pretty sure that's it. No heresy. Okay? So if it's minor heresy, I'll let it slide. But if it's major, damnable heresy, you might want to pass that on to me before I embarrass you in front of the whole church. Anyway, so I haven't said that in a while, so I figured I would squeeze that in. But anyway, and then we also have coming up in the future here, February 11th, we have the Married Couples Sweetheart Banquet. And of course, you have to be married, and that's the only rules. So it's going to be at 5 p.m., and Pastor Bruce Mejia will be here to preach us a short sermon. We're going to have some food catered to us, and we'll play the not-so-newlywed game. I'm going to try to have him do the game for us that night, so that'll work out nice. And then he's going to be preaching for us on the 12th, both services on Sunday. And it'll be nice to have him and his whole family are coming to visit us. The other things that are coming up are the March youth rally at Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento. So if you're 13, your kids are ages 13 or 19, they are okay to go. Obviously, if you're going and you're taking your whole family, it's okay for your whole family to go, but they just can't participate in the youth part of the activities. Of course, they can stay for the preaching and things like that, but anything that's fun, they can't do. So anyway, just being there is fun though, right? Anyway, I'm just kidding. But a couple other things I wanted to bring up. If you are needing a giving statement, those are available upon request. So the request is email the church at surefoundationbaptist@gmail.com and then just ask me for one and I will provide one for you. I should have those out by the 30th or sooner, depending on when you ask me. And if you're like most of the people in our church, you're going to wait till it's past the 30th and then you're going to ask me. But if you need one, I'm sure I'll be able to provide one for you. So anyway, also the 28th is going to be a showing of the Preserved Bible documentary. It's by Pastor Shelley and Pure Words Baptist Church putting that out. And so we get to be the first ones to see it. So I emailed a theater today to see if we could have it shown there. And the place, the location, and what time and where is all going to be secret because I just need to keep you guessing at some point, you know. No, we just don't want people to, you know, do what they do. These trolls like to mess with us and try to get things canceled and things like that. So anyway, if you're wanting to go, if we have it here, you know, easy peasy lemon squeezy, I'm going to get some popcorn machines and we'll have some popcorn and hang out and watch it right here. But it's kind of cool to go to the movie theater because, you know, most of the time there's nothing worth watching there anyway. So it'd be nice to go there and have somebody else clean up our mess afterwards. That's kind of my thinking. I know my wife's on board with that. So anyway, but that's the 28th. That's a Saturday. We're going to show it either here or it's going to be at a movie theater someplace. Okay. And the other thing is we got a new church bus. So we have a church bus. So have you seen what TriMet buses look like? It looks like that. It holds 40 people. So we can't exactly park. Yeah, it's not the pride one that you see riding by here. Might have some anti-pride stuff on it when we get it. But anyway, so for the youth conference, we do have some more seats that have opened up. There's 40 people are available to sit in the seats. So now, does anybody in here have a CDL? I do. I have a CDL. I don't want to be the only person driving because I will kill somebody. No, no, I'm just kidding. But Tony has a CDL. That's right. So, but I think if you're wanting or you want to be able to drive it at some point, then you have to get a Class B CDL. So it's a passenger endorsement. I have everything else. I just don't have that. So apparently I could drive, you know, hazardous materials, any place I want to go. I've gone through the background checks, but I just can't drive a bunch of screaming Baptists down to a conference without a special endorsement. So anyway, so Brother Joe bought that and he is going to be maintaining it. So it'll probably stay in Eugene unless we need it. Absolutely. But it also will be good for soul winning trips and, and things like that. So whereas people would be just like, oh, I don't really can't go because I don't have a ride. You got no excuses now, boy. No. You will go. We will put you in the van or the bus. Anyway, we're a family native grade church. Of course, you all know that. And please utilize those rooms for your convenience. Make sure no dads are going to the mom room and vice versa. During the church services, make sure you're watching your children and all that good stuff. Everybody kind of already knows. But let's make sure we're cleaning up after ourselves at the end of a service. Just kind of take a quick inventory of what your area looks like and clean it up. I don't use the mother baby room, so I got no reason to go in there. So I don't know what it looks like after it's done, but you do because you walk out of it. So if we could get some help just kind of tidying up afterwards, that'd be great. We are down some cleaners right now, and I put it in our group, and nobody, I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. People reached out to my wife, but I don't know who they were, so I just say nobody. But if you're interested in helping clean up around here on specific days, we have a every other week cleaning schedule. So you don't have to do it every week. It'd just be every other week. And it's just parts of the church. Like, people will come in and do some parts. And so it's kind of like you get into a group and you get put with a certain team. So if you're interested in helping, we could definitely use some help in that department. With that being said, that's all I have for announcements. Let's sing another song, receive the offering.
All right, let's open up to page 464. Page 464. Time we're going to receive our offering. Brother Sean Harrington, can you bless the offering for us?
Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can come and listen to your word preach, Lord. I pray that you would just be with Pastor Thompson as he preaches your word, Lord. I pray that you would make us attentive to your word and that we'd pay attention, Lord. I pray that you would bless this offering, Lord, that you'd bless both the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
going to go to prayer. But before we do, we're going to sing happy birthday to Tony. Tony's birthday is today. Tony, come out here. Where's your tiara? We're going to sing happy birthday to Tony. Tony, how old are you? He's only 55. He doesn't look it, though. Anyway, let's sing happy birthday to Tony, everybody. All right? Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. I'm going to read through some of these prayer requests, and we'll do a corporate prayer, and we'll be moving along with the service. Let's see. So let's remember all of our church plants, which are many. We have Surrey, BC. They just got some new chairs up there, so they're very thankful for that. They kind of look like these ones here. They've been dealing with the Costco chairs for this long. Before that, they had like old Chinese food restaurant chairs. So they're moving on up. So they're doing well up there. They've had some families move up there, so doing really good. Our church in Spokane, and then our church in England. Thank you.
turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews towards the back of the New Testament. Go all the way to the back. If you're going in reverse, go past Revelation, go past the little books of Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, and James and Hebrews. Sorry, backwards is hard. Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible reads, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Brother Alex, would you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Pastor and fill him with the Holy Spirit as he preaches. Give us ears to hear for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we covered Hebrews chapter 1 last week, and I kind of did a brief overview of the book of Hebrews. I said that I believe that Paul was the writer of Hebrews, and I do still think that that's true. I kind of put my reasons out as to why I believe that, but Hebrews is a book written to Hebrews. That's why it's called the book of Hebrews, right? So, and it's kind of a transitional book to try to help people understand that the things from the Old Testament that have changed and are implemented in the New Testament, what some of those things meant and what they, how they're fulfilled in Christ. And obviously there's a lot of things that have been changed, but obviously the moral law will never change. The moral law stays the same. But all the hand washing, sacrificing animals, and the Levitical priesthood has been changed. Doesn't say it was completely done away with, but it's been changed. Now you have pastors and teachers and all that kind of stuff. So But anyway, Paul, you know, he got done explaining in chapter one how much more superior Christ is to angels. He's a, you know, he's not an angel in the sense that he's a created being. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's not just some regular man. He's God manifest in the flesh. So he's not an angel. I kind of explained the difference between angels in the Bible because it kind of depends on what context you're talking about. In Revelation, I believe the angels of those churches it's talking about are men because they would have definitely, they each would have their own pastor. And I kind of explained how John the Baptist, the word that it uses for messenger and angel can be used synonymously in the Bible because the same Greek word underlies it. Not going back to the Greek, just saying that it's just a fact. It's like the Lord and Jehovah being the same word, okay, in Hebrew. So basically, that's kind of where we're at here. And in verse number 14 in chapter 1, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So then verse 1 in chapter 2 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to them things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we should give heed to what? Well, the things that it's talking about in chapter number 1, that Christ, you know, spoke to us. You know, before it was the prophets that spoke to people, but now the Son of God is the one who has spoken to us in these last days. And we need to give the more earnest heed. That means like just seriously pay attention to the things in the New Testament even more than the things in the Old Testament. Obviously, and I believe that, you know, we are in the New Covenant. We're in the New Testament. So what is the most important books are the books of the New Testament. And in our church is very focused on the New Testament and all those things. And we're not trying to go back to be put under the bondage of the law. But obviously the books in the Old Testament are scripture too. And we should take heed to those things. But the most important thing is the New Testament. And the New Testament shines the light on the Old Testament to help us to understand, you know, what God wants for us in the New Testament. So, and it says we should not... that we should give earnest heed to these things, which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The title of the sermon tonight is called Don't Get Caught Slipping, okay? Don't get caught slipping. And I get that from that verse where it says that we should not let them slip. Let what slip? The things that we've heard in the New Testament, the things that Paul is preaching to us in this book. And it says, for if the word spoken by angels, verse 2, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So it says, it's talking about the word spoken by angels. Now, obviously, the context of the angels in chapter 1 is talking about the angelic beings that God has created. So I think that in the context, it's probably still talking about that. And you're like, well, when do the angels speak to us? Well, and we just got done having Christmas, right? In Luke chapter number 2, the angels appear to the shepherds and they tell them and proclaim these things. There's other angels that God has sent to proclaim certain things to people. So the angels have spoken things to us. Obviously, God sent those angels to speak that those words. But the important thing that I want to show you is that, you know, if we are supposed to give earnest heed to those things, and the things that the angels spoke were steadfast, that means immovable. That means that they are rock solid. The word of God is rock solid. We can count on it. And it says, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I think that that there's probably a couple ways to interpret this, but I believe that what it's trying to tell us is that we shouldn't neglect the salvation that we have. That's my personal opinion on it. You could disagree with me about that all you want, but this is not talking to people that are unsaved, is it? Or is it talking to people that are saved? talking to people who are saved, right? How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So if you're already saved and you're neglecting the fact that you're saved and you're not living the Christian life, then how are we going to escape what? What did it say in the last verse? You're going to get every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So when we don't live the Christian life, when we don't repent of sins, we don't try to get more holy, we don't do what God says for us to do, any commandment, any of the works we're supposed to be doing in the New Testament, you know, God's not going to just be okay with us not doing anything. Now, do we have to do those things to be saved? I've already said this a million times. No, of course you don't have to do those things to be saved. But we should work for the Lord. We should serve Him. That is our is something that God wants us to do. Why? Because He's not doing it. He's gone up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of power of the Father, right? So He's left and left us to reconcile the world through the gospel. And how are we going to escape getting punished if we neglect so great of salvation? It says, which at the first began to be spoken of or by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. So now He's talking about how they actually heard Him preach. They saw Him. They confirmed the things that He said. And so it's not just that Paul, or, you know, obviously Paul was a Johnny come lately, but he still was an apostle, and Christ still did teach him things that he needed to know. He gave him the gospel of salvation to preach to the Gentiles. And obviously, do you think Paul was neglecting salvation, his salvation? But are there people that do neglect their salvation? There is. There's a lot of people out there that just neglect it. They just get their fire insurance card and they don't really care too much about other people. And that's a bad way to look at things. It's a wicked way to look at things, because someone made sure you got the gospel. So why wouldn't you want to make sure someone else gets the gospel? And so, you know, yeah, it's all great. You're going to heaven. You don't have to do any works. But what about the other people? What about the people in your, it's not just the people in your family that you need to get the gospel to. What about other people? What about strangers? What about somebody else's mother? What about somebody else's father? You know, we ought not to neglect the duties that we have as Christians. So neglecting the fact that we are saved and have great responsibilities to the Word of God and to our fellow man, we have a great responsibility. We are the ministers of reconciliation. So if the ministers of reconciliation are sitting on their hands and not doing anything to try to get the gospel out, then what kind of ambassador are they? If people can't see that you're a Christian, or they you interact and you say, well, I do this and I go to church and I'm this and that, but then they see you just not living the Christian life at all when you're outside of the church, people are going to have an issue with that. And people are not going to want to listen to you. So we have a lot of responsibility as children of God to, you know, to build the brand, so to speak. The brand is what? The kingdom of God. And so if they don't see in us, or they don't see our works, why would they want to get saved if you're just as wicked or more wicked than the other people that are out there? And you're like, well, it's not lifestyle evangelism. Well, but doesn't the Bible teach to let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? So what, we're not supposed to live a good life? Of course we're supposed to live a good life. Of course we're supposed to live a transformed life. Of course we're supposed to live a changed life. Amen. That's a weird way to look at it. You know, just because we preach that salvation's by faith alone without the deeds of the law, without the works of the law, people will take that to extremes and be like, well, I don't have to do anything then. And technically you're right, but that's a real wicked way to look at things. It really is. And so let's turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 20. Mark chapter 6, verse 20. Keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 2. We shouldn't be neglecting the fact that we have salvation. We should make sure that other people have salvation as well. Mark chapter 6, verse 20. We call ourselves a Baptist church, and we're not ashamed of the name Baptist. I'm not ashamed of the name Baptist. I'm ashamed of other people that say they're Baptists and don't act like it. I have a problem with someone calling themselves a Baptist church. They have a woman as the preacher. I don't know that that goes on a lot yet, but I'm sure the whatever the Southern Bastard Convention is doing right now, they're probably moving in that direction. I think that they probably have voted on it. They probably do have women preachers. But look what it says in Mark 6, verse 20. It says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and in holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." Now this is Herod. And Herod ends up turning into a reprobate later on. And obviously he's a real evil person. But at this time, he respected John. He respected the word of God. And look what it says. It says, Herod feared John. John who? John, middle name the, last name Baptist. Okay? John the Baptist. This is who we're talking about here. Herod feared John. How many preachers do you think are feared today in the world by the king? Because this is King Herod. He's like the highest in the land, except for, I would suppose, the governor, which was Pontius Pilate and whatnot. But at this time, Herod, you know, he seemed like he was on his way to at least believing, right? But it says, knowing that he was a just man. And what does it mean when the Bible says someone's a just man? It means they're saved. So what did Herod know about John? He was saved. And what? And holy. Now, what the word holy means set apart. It means it's there, that he's sanctified. So what did he know about John? He wasn't just a just man. He wasn't just saved. John was holy. John was set apart. In case you didn't realize, John ate different food. John wore different clothes. He had a leathern girdle, and which was a belt, a leather belt. Oh, what do you? I thought they wore dresses back then. No, they wore belt and pants just like anybody else would, okay? But anyway, that's a different sermon for a different time. But my point is that John was different. John was out separated. He was out in the wilderness preaching, and then when it was time for him to preach the message, this is the messenger of the new covenant. He is to tell people of the Savior to come. And it says that he feared John. He knew that he was a just man, so he knew he was saved. He knew he was holy. He knew he was set apart and observed him. See, people watch you more than you think they do. People will watch how you live your life. People will watch how you talk. And even if they're misguided on some of the things that they think about Christianity, they can still tell when someone's doing evil or not, right? And it says, and when he heard him, he did many things. So that means he's what? Obeying some of the preaching that John preached. He did many things and he heard him gladly. He was glad to hear from somebody like that. But you know what? If they don't have these things on the list, they don't want to listen to you. If you're out drinking at the bars with them and then all of a sudden you're trying to give them John 3:16, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to say, what are you talking about? You're drunk. Go home. You're drunk. You know, that's just ridiculous. So look, if you're going to call yourself a Baptist, at least be like a Baptist. Because, you know, John the Baptist was the greatest born among women, wasn't he? And he was, and up to John, he was the law and the prophets. John did no miracles. John drank no wine. John was, you know, they accused him of having a devil, and he didn't come eating and drinking. He was eating locust and wild honey, okay, which is okay in the dietary Jewish laws of back then or whatever. So it was okay to eat those things. Disgusting, but still it was okay, right? He was getting his protein. My point is that John, people saw John and they knew he was saved. Herod saw John and knew he was saved. And he knew that he was holy. And he was glad to hear him. Now, you know, obviously people can get to that point and they can still go down the wrong road. But John was feared by Herod. So turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. It says in Mark chapter 12, verse 35, it says, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence he is, then he his son. Excuse me. And it says the last part here, and the common people heard him gladly. Why did they hear Jesus? Why did they like Jesus? Well, there was a time when Jesus was the most popular person in the nation. People followed him from place to place. People were wanting what? The miracles that he performed, giving out free food, things like that. They liked that part about Jesus, but when he started saying things that they didn't like, then they kind of turned on him, didn't they? But the Bible says the common people heard him gladly. So, you know, people will listen to you, but, you know, we can't just neglect the salvation or the, yeah, we can't neglect the great salvation that's been given to us and just, you know, how shall we, you know, escape? What do you want? Would you rather be punished or would you rather have God pleased with you? Because I would rather personally, you know, have God pleased with me. Obviously, I'm not perfect and nobody is saying you have to be, but as far as like people knowing you're a Baptist, you know, what do you believe? Do people see you living out what you say you believe? Because it's really important for that. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Brandon, will you please turn that heater down? Por favor. No, I did not order pizza. Where is it from? Oh, wow. Yeah. Ask him how much it is. I'll consider paying for it. All right. Well, apparently people want to waste other people's money. So in order to get at us, like they think that that's going to hurt me to order some pizza for us. I mean, we'll probably just eat it. Thanks for saving me the trouble. Can I tell you about some of our other events and then you can have them order some pizza for us. Enemies like to do this, but all they're doing is hurting the businesses that they're doing it through. So apparently somebody called in to order a pizza for us that we didn't order. How much is it? Let's pay for it. We'll raffle it off. No, I'm just kidding. $46, that's not enough pizza to feed everybody. So maybe we'll just draw straws or something. Maybe they're at the wrong place. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, moving along. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So why am I having you read these verses with me? Well, it's saying whatsoever you do in word or deed. So do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So are we supposed to be saying things and doing things? Is that what it's saying? Yes, it is. So it's not just about talking the talk, but it's also about walking your walk. And so that's important for us to do. Don't neglect your salvation. Look at 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. You don't have to turn the AC on. Training day. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So another way of saying, hey, don't just love in saying words to people. Obviously, words, the word of God will get people saved if they believe those words. But also, the Bible is admonishing us to not just be talkers, but also do deeds in truth. So actually going to someone's door is a lot different than calling them on the phone, isn't it? I'm not saying calling on the phone isn't good, but people hate when people just cold call people, don't they? Do you like it when you're at dinner and some robo call comes into your cell phone? You hate it, don't you? It's annoying. Well, people don't like when you knock on their doors either, but you know, one thing's in the Bible, the other one isn't. So You know, in the Old Testament, or not in the Old Testament, well, probably in the Old Testament, but in Paul's day, they went and knocked on people's doors. So house to house means you have, you know, most people's houses have a door on them, right? So that was the method of going and reaching the whole world. So do the people in the spheres of influence that are in your life, do they just hear what you say and don't see you do it? Because that does make a big difference. A lot of people are like, my family just won't listen. And listen, sometimes, you know, a prophet is without honor, but in his own country, in his own nation or whatever. So sometimes your family just won't hear you. They're tired of hearing you. You've already told them enough. Someone else needs to come and talk to them. Because even Jesus, as great as he was, when he said, hey, I'm going to go back and preach in my hometown, they tried to throw him off a cliff. I mean, you know, all the people that saw him and grew up with him and knew him are just ready to throw him off of a cliff because he got up and said something that they didn't like, talking about helping the Gentiles or whatever, adding the Gentiles in on the plan or whatever. So, but don't neglect the salvation that you have. Maintain your good works. It's not just, you don't just get saved and then you just live your life however you want. Can you still go to heaven, theoretically? Yes, of course you can. But what are you helping? Who are you helping? Who are you living your life for? Don't neglect the salvation that you have. Do you have a home? Do you mow the grass? That's maintaining your lawn. Now, what about, do you clean the house? I hope you clean the house every once in a while. You know, it gets dusty, it gets dirty. But that's called maintenance. When you get your car's oil changed, it's maintenance, isn't it? You can't just drive your car till the wheels fall off and then say, I just don't understand why it didn't last over 100,000 miles. Well, you know, if you've never checked the oil, you know, I love those every year. It's like Facebook. I don't know if Facebook got rid of it because I haven't seen it in a long time. But it tells you like the checklist for winter checklist. And it's like fill your gas tank with something else. I don't know. It just has all these different things that will actually ruin your car if you did them in winter. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What are some of the things, Brother CJ? You're looking at it right now?
No.
Oh, okay. What are a couple of things that it said in that post? What, do you remember? Oh, let all the air out of your tires? Yeah, stuff like that. So it's like basically telling you to do things that you would not do under a normal maintenance situation. So, but obviously, there's things, we maintain all kinds of different things in our life, even our own relationships, even our marriages, our home, our cars. So if you'll be on top of everything you've done, every oil change since you brought it home from the car dealership or whatever, you're on top of everything, you're scheduled, you're perfect on your maintenance. Well, how about the maintenance on your Christian life? Are you checking that on a regular basis? Because I'll tell you what, that's a lot more important than your car. Obviously, you need your car, but do you really need your car? Or do you want your car? Do you like having your car? Because there is a bus system that you could use to get around. There is, you know, other ways of getting around. You don't have to have a car. But the point is, if you don't maintain your car, then it's going to go into the junkyard eventually, right? So it's the same thing with your Christian life. You should maintain your Christian life and make sure that you're not neglecting the salvation that's been given to you, because it is a free gift. So look at Colossians 1:25. Was it a crank call? Oh, okay. So that was just for me. They just ordered it for me. That's only enough for me. Anyway, Colossians 1:25 says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Listen, we live in a time that's very special in history. We live in the last days. And you know what? The Apostle Paul here is talking about the fact that he's been made a minister and his job is to fulfill the word of God. That's our job too. Because he's made it manifest to his saints. And you know what? Saints aren't just Catholic people that have little halos over their head on little windows inside of their church buildings. That's not a saint. A saint is anybody that's saved. And so we have been shown and made, it's been made manifest to his saints, the mystery which has been hid from ages for generations. We got to be born into the world, and sometimes we complain about how wicked the world is. It's true. But you know, also, the more wicked the world is, the more bright our light can shine before other people. So, you know, we live in a time where salvation is free, where there's King James Bibles on every corner. Not really, but there's King James Bibles probably in every corner of your house. Sometimes people were just happy that they had one sheet of the Word of God. And they would just memorize that, and they would pass those sheets from one house to another. They didn't have bound up, nice designed King James Bibles like this with their names on them or whatever. We live in a time where we can do a lot of good in this world, and we shouldn't neglect that. It says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. That is our riches, that we have Christ in us. When you're saved, you have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. And, you know, people say, well, you know, what does it take to be saved? Well, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. Well, in a sense, that is kind of true, that you do, once you believe and you ask him to save you, you do have Jesus in your heart. You have the Spirit of God in you. And that's a great gift that we've been given. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So now Paul, we know, didn't just neglect his salvation. Paul took his salvation and ran for the touchdown, didn't he? He went for the mark. He was just always pressing toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know what? One man can do, another man can do. I'm not saying we're going to be like the Apostle Paul exactly, but I'm just saying that we can, whatever we put our mind to, whatever gifts God has given to us, you know, we can take those things and we can be very effective in our lives. But you know, if we're neglecting that salvation, we're just acting like it's not that big of a deal. Look, it is a big deal. And he's given us such riches that people just squander it. It's like you just got the lottery ticket, the winning lottery ticket for $500 billion or whatever, and you're just like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to cash this in or not. I mean, to me, that it's more valuable to be saved than a $500 billion lotto ticket. Because all that's going to do is you're just going to die poor and whatever. You're going to be in a sad state of affairs. Read the book about people that win the lottery. It's not a pretty picture. Anyway, so Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. We're only covering 9 verses tonight, so don't get all scared. All right? So, 30 pages. No, it's just 3. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So God, you know, when Jesus Christ came, He, you know, the witness of him was both the signs and the wonders with diverse miracles. You know, you can't talk about Jesus and separate him from all of his works. He wasn't just mighty in word. He was mighty in deeds also. Who else can do the things that he does? You know, one of the things that it says in the New Testament, you know, he doeth all things well. Everything he did well, which is probably the opposite of most of us. We probably do a lot, some things right, some things well, but he did all things well. All of his miracles, the way he preached, the way he spoke, the way he cared, the way he loved people was way different than most people. And it's something, a benchmark for us to meet. It's something that we need to strive for in our lives to be more like Christ. You know, the Word of God is not just some metaphor that we follow. The Word of God is not just a bunch of stories that have good moral lessons for us to follow. The Word of God is just that, the Word of God. It's very powerful. It changes lives. It changes the way we live our lives. And it's not some allegory that was designed by the government to control us, which is what a lot of dumb atheists and people that are unbelievers say. They just, you know, they just say stuff because they heard it on the History Channel or something. You know how many times I hear the same garbage from different doors? That just shows that their propaganda machine is working. And so I like to just kick those crutches out from underneath people when I'm out soul winning. I enjoy it. So, you know, people just come up with the dumbest things, the dumbest solutions. I like to tell people, you know how many times I've heard that someone say the same thing? So obviously somebody taught you that thing. And I'll, of course, I say it in a way nicer tone. But, you know, look, the Word of God is not Mother Goose nursery rhymes. It's not the White Wolf. It's not Hansel and Gretel. And it's not Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It's the Word of God. It's something that we need to make sure that we're taking very serious. It says, you know, give the more earnest heed to these things, right? Because it's the Word of God. It's not Stephen King. It's the King of Kings, okay? It's way different. It's far above any other book, any other literary thing in this world. It's better than War and Peace. It's better than, you know, Anna Karenina and all these other novels from, you know, they're, you know, most of these people are wicked anyway that write these books. So, I mean, obviously there's some great literary works that are considered great works in this world, but nothing even comes close to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. So the Bible says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." So this coming world, this coming kingdom of God, you know, obviously the kingdom of God is within us, but there's going to be a day when the kingdom of God is going to come, all right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? It's going to come here. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Look what it says again in verse 5. It says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection to the world to come." So they're not the ones that subject the world. What does that mean? Well, subjects have to have rulers, don't they? So they're not going to be the rulers of this world. Are angels more powerful than human beings in power? Yeah, they are, aren't they? So why aren't they the ones that are going to be subjecting people? Because that's just not the way God made it. I don't understand why. But they are created beings that they're supposed to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. They were created with their purpose, but God created us to have fellowship with God. So turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, 11, it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." But the point I want to show you is in verse 12 where it says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." So we are going to reign with Christ. There's no doubt about it. The Bible teaches it very clearly. Turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. So Revelation 20, verse number 6. The Bible very clearly teaches that we're going to reign with him, but that day is still coming. It's not here yet, obviously. We're pretty much nobodies in this world. As far as the world is concerned, we're just the scum of the earth, as far as a lot of people are concerned in these days. You know, we're church people. We love babies. We hate death. I mean, there's just a lot of things that people hate about us. They hate the fact that we like marriage, that we like two genders, because that's what the Bible teaches. I mean, there's just a lot of things in this world that, you know, we're for hard work, they're for not hardly working. You know, the world's turned upside down. But there's going to come a day when all that's going to change. And, you know, we're going to be the ones that are ruling and reigning with Christ. Look at Revelation 20, verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him," what does it say there? 1,000 years. So the thousand-year reign of Christ is literally going to happen. So you and the verse right above this, I'm not there in the Bible, but if you just look up, you can see that there's these four beasts. And so the saints are gonna destroy that kingdom. Obviously, Jesus Christ is the one that is the stone without hands that destroys the image that it talks about. So, but we're going to rule and reign with him. When he comes back in Revelation chapter 19, all of his saints are with him. And we're all on white horses with him. We're all dressed in white with him because we've been made, you know, to where we could be saved and we have no more sin. And so that's what that represents, those white robes. But Christ, you know, is going to be our captain. He's our leader, and he's going to destroy the beast and throw the devil in hell for 1,000 years. And that's when we're going to reign. We're going to have a peaceful time on this earth. Things are going to be run the way they're supposed to be, the way that God wanted them to be. And he's going to show that this world can be run by one king. You know, people just think that theocracy is such a bad idea. It's bad if it's not Christ. But if it's Christ and he's perfect and he's sinless and he's holy and he always makes the right decision and he knows the right thing to do in every situation, he knows how to right the economy. You know, don't give all of our money to foreign places. Don't get into wars that you don't have the money to. Don't give billions of dollars to Ukraine so that they can fight Russia. I mean, lots of different things, right? But, you know, this is going to be a different world when he reigns. Daniel 7:18 says, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." So that 1,000 years gets extended. We still get to reign with Christ. We still will be with Christ. We're never going to leave his side. We're going to be with him forever, and we are going to rule and reign with him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, back in our text, Hebrews 2, 6 says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" And that's an interesting question, but he says, one in a certain place testified. This is David, of course. It's quoting one of the Psalms where it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And that's kind of an interesting question. Why does God think about us? Why does God care about us? It says, "Or the son of man that thou visitest him." Why does God even pay us any attention at all whatsoever? And you look around this world and you think, yeah, really, why? Why? But if you think about it, do you love your children? If you have children, do you love your children? Why do you love them? Because they're your children, right? So God made us, and he made a way of salvation for us, and those people that are saved are his children. And God, you know, I say this at the door a lot, you know, you're not going to throw your children into an oven. You know, when I'm talking about salvation, God would never throw one of his own children in hell. So why does God think about us? Why is he mindful? That's what mindful is. You think about somebody, right? You know, God thinks about us probably a lot more than we think about him. In reality, he loves us. You know, he's done a lot of things for us so that we could actually be in eternity with him. And, you know, people talk about our relationship a lot. That seems to be a real popular thing right now. You know, how are you saved? Well, you have to have a relationship with God. But that's not how you're saved. But is it important to have a relationship with God? It is important. It's like if you had parents and they did everything for you, they did all these nice things, and you're just like, don't even say thank you. Don't talk to me, mom and dad. I don't want to talk to you. That's just a weird attitude to have. So what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Well, he loves us and he wants to spend time with us. Well, we should probably reciprocate that with him. We should also love him, and we should make him the desire of our heart. Verse 7, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." So Christ was made lower than the angels. So again, he's not an angel, right? That's what we kind of covered last chapter. He was made lower than the angels, so less power. And it says, thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. So all the things that God made, Christ was made and set over those things because he fulfilled his mission. His mission was to be the savior of the earth. Mission accomplished. He did it. And next week we're going to learn just how far he went in order to secure that. But it says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So right now we don't see those things. We live our lives, we go to work, we raise our kids, we it's hard because we can't see these things right now that we are talking about. We can't see the things in the Bible. Well, you never saw Jesus when you got saved either, but yet you still got saved. So sometimes we need to be able to look with our eyes of faith at these things in the Bible and just realize that these things are really going to happen. These things are really true. And, you know, we can get far off because we live in this world and we just kind of get in the grind and we just forget that one day we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. It's pretty cool. I mean, he didn't really have to do that, right? He didn't have to share his inheritance. He didn't have to share his power with us, yet he still does. And most people don't even take the time to talk to him once in a day. That's sad. But that's just the state of human beings. And unfortunately, the state of a lot of Christians. Let's close it off. We'll have you turn to one last spot. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The next week, I'll be preaching the rest of the chapter. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Because part of this whole process is him putting all things in subjection under his feet. So there is a process that's going to happen. And obviously, we're kind of right now, we're in a holding tank of salvation, where we're just trying to get as many people saved as we can. That's the mission, to get as many people learning the Bible as we can. That's the mission, getting people baptized, getting people following God, getting people making God an important thing in their lives. But eventually all that's going to come to an end and we'll say bye-bye to prayer, bye-bye to soul winning, those things that we wish we would have done while we had the chance, while we're here on this earth, those things we're not going to have opportunities to do anymore. I talked about doing these things while you have your youth. You know, we have a guy in this church that's older than pretty much everybody, but goes soul winning more than everybody. So he's flipping it on its head. Like, what one man can do, another man can do, right? So anyway, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. So connecting that with Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, thou hast put all things in subject under his feet. So Christ is the engine that God the Father is using to subdue the whole earth under his feet. And the Bible says in the last verse here, it says, not the last verse, but verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so death is what we're going to talk about next week. What is death? How Jesus Christ tasted death for all men. So, but that's the end of the sermon tonight. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you just help us and teach us many great things out of your Word as we go through this study. Pray that you would just bless each and every single person. Lord, there's a lot of prayer requests that are just very important right now, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us to keep in mind our brothers and sisters in Christ and not just think about ourselves. or that we'd think about the plight of others and the things that other people are going through, Lord, their health, just all aspects of people's lives. Lord, there's a lot of concerns and sorrows and hardships, and I just pray, Lord, that you would be with those people that are going through them, and even just as much as not having a car to be able to get to church, Lord, I just pray that you would help those situations in whatever way is possible, Lord. Help us to care about other people and their plights, Lord, because it could be us that are going through that, and I know that I wish that people would pray for me also, Lord. Pray that you just bless us as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing our last song, page 398 in your blue hymn books. Page 398. We'll sing All I Need. Page 398, All I Need. Sing it out loud on the first. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. Service. Love to see you back here on Sunday morning. Brother Sean Conley, can you dismiss us, please?